So also from Right Wing Watch, Glenn Beck, not the only one who's on the Cruz train.
Right.
Sandy Rios, pray that God delivers a Ted Cruz victory in Indiana.
Okay, well, here we go.
So many pastors don't want to get involved in these races, and the presidential race either. And what are you finding? I know Christians are involved in Indiana, but how about pastors?
What about cows? What about the cows?
What about corn?
What about meth? Is it involved in the things in Indiana? Because I know that meth has a lot of prominence in Indiana.
Meth is involved in every decision in Indiana.
The decision to go to Indiana normally is heavily influenced by meth as well.
Well, a lot of pastors are afraid. A lot of pastors feel like this is something they cannot get involved in, and that's not true. There are certainly ways in which pastors can endorse, in certain ways pastors can preach about issues. Every moral issue now seems to have a political component to it. So,
what the fuck does that even mean?
I don't know. I think he's saying, like, well, look, I think they're saying, you know, that pastors are not allowed to endorse candidates from the pulpit, right? Because
that's legal.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So they can't do it. So he's saying, like, there's backdoor ways of doing it.
Oh, you know? Tell me about this backdoor.
Well, it's a different conversation, Cecil. But when a
man loves another man a whole lot,
or just for a half an hour, or so
when a man has a grinder account,
if pastors self censor, they're doing their congregation no good by not addressing these issues. So I think it's very important for pastors to be culturally relevant in talking about the issues and how God sees issues that we're seeing in the headlines every day. When a church doesn't talk about those issues, I think it makes them look irrelevant because
they are irrelevant.
I know, like, their irrelevancy doesn't have anything right? to do with whether, like, or not they're talking about issues.
Well, when they're not talking about stuff that matters to people, like, oh, so when they're at the pulpit?
Oh, so when they're talking about magic? Is that
right?
What you're, yeah.
It's things that the congregants are facing every day. Homosexuality, religious hostility, life, those types of issues.
Life?
Life.
Yeah. Life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the game of life. I don't know if you've ever played that. It's from Parker Brothers.
Life.
Yeah, life.
Life.
Is this cereal? I don't know if you've ever had it.
It's unbelievable. Life.
Cinnamon Life.
When they're up there.
Huge fan of that.
Hey, guys. We're going to talk about life today. I know it's going to take a long time. That encompasses the entirety of the human experience.
It's going to be a while. Hey, guys, I know you're on uncomfortable wooden pews.
I know I'm a... you know, I'm a useless virgin standing up here.
Useless virgin. Jesus Christ.
But I'm going to tell you about what it's
fuck,
like.
Fuck, man.
I'm going to tell you what it's like to be married or, you know, not a useless fucking virgin.
Sexually active,
I'm going to tell you what it's like to life and, you know, but I don't have a job like you guys do, or a wife.
I just, like, fucking to sit around and, like, write homilies all day.
I have, like, literally one book. That's all I gotta know. That's all I have to know is one book. That's the whole thing I gotta look for my whole life. One book.
You know, maybe you're right. Maybe it's a useless version.
That's it. Hey, what'd you do today? I have one book. Yeah, it's one fucking book. Okay, it's not even a good one.
So I read part of my useless book and I celibated.
Yeah. I sat around not having sex with people and reading the one book that I get. That's it. I'm fucking real useful.
Pastors must talk about, but I'm afraid a lot of pastors are using the fear of losing their tax-exempt status, which has never happened to a church in U.S. history. Not since 1954 has any church ever lost its tax-exempt status for talking about moral issues or political issues. But a lot of pastors use that as an excuse not to be involved. And so I think that's unfortunate. God doesn't call us to hide. He doesn't call us to hide our light. He doesn't call us. The Bible speaks about every issue under the sun.
The Bible doesn't fucking talk about fucking bioengineering.
Right?
The Bible has fucking nothing to say about that.
The Bible was written before we knew almost anything at all.
The Bible has no idea about the germ theory of disease. The Bible has no idea about zippers. The Bible is just fucking a piece of fucking garbage.
You know, it is
the Bible knows about rocks and plants and fucking pigs. That's it. That's it, man. Yeah. Fucking livestock. It's like fucking, it's like Settlers of fucking Catan. It's like, trade me my fucking wood for your bricks. Like, this is fucking ridiculous, man. The Bible doesn't talk about every issue under the sun. The Bible talks about fucking, yeah, it talks about every issue under the sun because back then they didn't have roofs. The fuck?
It is amazing. Like, when you stop and think, like, wait a minute, this is over 2,000 years old. Think about all the things the Bible had nothing to say about. Like, sure. Hey, man, my flight was delayed. I'm real mad. Oh, yeah? Well, I'm the Bible, and I don't even understand denim. Like, much less an airplane. Much less an internal combustion engine. I don't even know if you can light shit on fire. Like, I'm in the desert.
Yeah,
there's
exactly.
Not even anything to light
there's
on fire.
There's nothing to light
here.
On fire, yeah.
It's a garbage book written sure. by garbage people living in a wasteland.
There's no new issues. And if we want to be relevant and important in life, changing lives of people,
we need to read another book.
like literally, like any book.
Just read a different one.
Anything written since the printing press.
Our churches and pastors have to speak about the issues of the day. There's no place to hide anymore. We are aliens in a pagan culture, and we need churches to stand up, not for the sake of changing culture so much, but for the sake of changing lives in the culture.
It's just stunning to me, actually, as I hear you speak, because I know what you said is true, that even there would be an open admission that it would be the fear of having your tactics and money because of losing money, because somehow people might not give as much because it wouldn't be a tax. It would actually, money would buy the silence of pastors on moral issues.
Yeah, because that's all they're out for, dumb
right.
fuck.
Why would you be surprised by that?
Like, that fucking welcome to... Jesus, look at all the preachers. So look at them all, man.
You think Creflo Dollar.
Exactly.
His fucking last yeah. name is Dollar.
He would let you fuck his wife for money. Are you kidding me?
He wanted... a gold-plated jet or whatever
sure.
he wanted. Like,
yeah.
The guy,
he wanted a fucking genie lamp.
I know.
Fucking the guy is made it. All he wants is money. Same thing with fucking Joel Osteen.
Right. You know what
the
they
guy
are?
Guy forgets $250,000 or something in a fucking duffel bag. Not weird at all, Joel.
Right.
Yeah, that you're carrying around that kind of money.
That's not your weird hooker
yeah,
hush
exactly.
money, right? Like,
that's exactly.
What do you have $250,000 in cash for
yeah,
any real? Like,
that you don't trade crack for.
Right.
Yeah.
Crack. Crack. You kidding me? You know these guys are. These are like the rappers of the Christian world,
sure.
right? It's just it's like the guy fucking Creflo Dollar.
Yeah.
Are you kidding
yeah.
me?
The
like,
guy whose last name is Dollar.
Dollar. I mean, it's insane. Like they're doing everything except for pointing guns at the cameraman
exactly.
during a video.
Sideways. Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
There's no difference.
Joel Osteen should have a grill. Like he should.
Right.
He should totally have gold ass teeth.
It's the same ethos. It's just a different it's just a different look. Right.
Yeah, right.
You know, all you did was change your shirt. That's the only thing.
Well, and the idea that you can't look around and see this, you can't look around and see that every single priest out there is all they're trying to do is just make sure that their fucking congregation has enough money. And it's not that their congregation has enough money. Anything
the congregation gives them money.
Gives them the money, and then they make sure that they have the money.
Yeah, in their money pockets. That's what they have.
Money
pockets.
Here's
the thing, man. Because look, yeah, I'm no different. You're no different. Like, if somebody's like, hey, if you do this thing, you'll get fired from your job. Well, you don't do that thing anymore.
Exactly, right?
If I'm a pastor and it's like, well, I'll lose all my money. Like, well, okay, well then I'm gonna need to eat food.
Yeah, I need to do things
right.
that get money.
Right.
Yeah.
That's really what it boils down to. And that's kind of the stunning place in which we find ourselves. And I'm sure that's the reason why many of us are concerned that we've lost God's favor. And I think that's why, you know, in this particular election, we are encouraging those of you, especially those of you listening in Indiana this morning, make sure that you go out and vote, because there's nothing that God can't do, and we don't know for sure.
There's nothing that God can't do.
Yeah,
God,
there's plenty that he won't do.
Yeah, well.
Like, he won't, like, give a shit about childhood cancer, evidently, right? Like, there's nothing God won't do.
Well, he won't make Ted Cruz attractive.
Right.
Yeah.
He didn't even make Ted Cruz.
It certainly seems like we're trending toward a very bad ending here, but... we know that God has often heard the prayers of his people and spared them. the trouble that they so fully deserve.
You fuckers. You fuckers.
You fucking deserve it.
So if it doesn't go well, it's like, if it goes well, I love the way she
hedges. It's a great hedge, isn't right? it? It's perfect.
Like, if it goes well for us, that's because we prayed real hard. I know,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we prayed super hard.
But if it doesn't, you don't fucking deserve you fucking, it, you ungrateful little.
No, you do deserve it. Yeah, you deserve exactly what you deserve, right. Exactly yeah. what yeah. you get.
Right.
What do you think, Tom, about Trump now? I mean, like, the thing is like, everybody in that whole race has badmouthed Trump to the point where they dislike him.
Yeah.
The internet's basically blown up and said, and a ton of people have come out. Todd Starnes, one of them, several other people, what we may consider as prominent Republicans, have come out and said they're not interested in Trump. They don't like Trump. They don't want Trump, et cetera. But they're not going to vote for Hillary.
They're not going to vote. It's going to be a low turnout.
Yeah. You think that's going to be it? They're just going to they're just going to not going to vote. Now, the thing is, Trump has alienated or been alienated by everybody on that stage. Yep. Who does he pick as his running mate? The only person I can think is Palin.
Fuck.
Yeah, I mean, like, really, that's all I can think. Tell me who else, right?
No.
It's not going to be Rubio. Rubio hates him.
Yeah, they all hate him.
They all hate him.
They've all said.
They all hate him.
He has come out and said that he, like Kasich has said no.
Yeah.
I mean, they've all said no. Yeah. He's mentioned a number of them, and everybody he's mentioned, they've laughed at him and said, no fucking way. There's
Ben
no
Carson.
Fucking way.
Ben Carson? Because I thought he endorsed him eventually.
Oh, maybe he would do. God, yeah. What a fucking nightmare that would
be. Ben Carson, Trump. I think that's probably the best case, though.
Oh, my God.
So.
But he's a losing ticket. I know you don't necessarily think so. I strongly think
we'll see. You know, we're not
big loser.
I want to wait to see what happens once the general starts. Once they start really going for the general, Sanders isn't going to quit. So
no,
Sanders,
which is, I think that's
Sanders,
good for
Sanders had said he's not going to quit. He's going to keep going. Yeah. And they are pretty close, but it's not close enough. I don't think for Sanders to win at
no,
this point, he needs.
It's not an uphill climb. It's a vertical.
It's
climb.
A vertical, straight up vertical climb. And yeah, I mean, you just basically have to. Like, everybody in California has to vote for him. Yeah. You know,
what Sanders is doing is Sanders is smart, right? And now he's fighting against Trump by staying in the race. And he's as much as said so. So what he's trying to do is he's trying to get, because Trump only plays well against uneducated white people. That's actually his big demographic. So people with low education, white people with low education love Trump. Young people, no. Bernie Sanders staying in keeps young people engaged in the political process longer. The closer you're engaged in the political process, closer to November, the higher likelihood you have to vote in the general.
Yeah.
So him staying in is good for the Democratic Party because it just puts more of the right demographic into seats.
Yeah.
Right. Puts more of the right butts into the right seats. I Trump's favorability ratings among – I was listening to something on the radio today. His favorability rating among Hispanics is 85% negative. That's worse than any president. And there's more Hispanics voting in this election than in any other election.
It's very bad now. But again, I wonder what parts of his tune are going to change once it becomes – once he doesn't have to cater to the demographic that you're talking about. So the demographic you're talking about, he had to cater to try to get them out to the polls, which worked wonderfully. Got him the nomination. Fucking totally got him the nomination. Now, what is he going to turn up to try to entice the middle of the road people? Because you said it yourself, and it's true. The Democrats are not going to – it doesn't matter. The Democrats they're going to vote for who they vote for, period, and that's it. They're going to vote for Hillary. And there may be – I'll be honest. You know, like how you're talking about disenchanted Republicans – I wonder how many disenchanted Democrats are going to be.
I think we're going to have record low turnout on both sides.
How many disenchanted – because I will say I've seen people on my feed that have said that they won't vote. They're like, if Bernie doesn't win, I'm not going to vote, blah, 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 whatever, however it goes. But, you know, I wonder what's going to happen because you're going to have a low turnout on both sides. So they're going to kind of nullify each other out. If he can be center enough for this – the independents, the people who are going to make this happen – there's a possibility he could win.
But he said so much.
Right,
crazy
he said so
shit.
Much shit. But like you said before, when we were talking about him, he'll just go back on it.
I think that worked for. I don't think that works for the next group of voters. I think that worked for the uneducated dipshits who were kind of already in and around that camp. I don't think that works for people.
He may not.
I don't. There's no way to get the Hispanic vote when you've said I'm going to make the Mexicans build a wall, and the way I'm going to get them to pay for it is by withholding their remittances back to their families. Like, yeah. It'd be like saying, like, hey, man, I know 6 months ago I said fuck you and your wife, but, you know, I'd kind of like to have you over for dinner. I made a totes nice steak.
What I think, though, is that he may be able to entice other people with the more left-leaning policies that he has always kept and always had. So he's always had a few of these left-leaning policies.
Yeah, he has.
And he may be able to get some of the people on the left to say, oh, I'd really like to have a few of these policies here and there. I'm just saying, like, it's not a fucking cut and dry. I've been wrong. I'm wrong all the time. I'm wrong about everything. I'm wrong. I'm wrong 100% of the time on this show, right? I'm wrong all the time. But this is what I think is going to happen. And the thing is I'm fucking happy to be wrong. Like, yeah, I'm happy. I'll be very happy to be wrong. But I am. I'm not as waving of my hand as like, oh, there's no chance that Trump can win. You know, we've seen a very intelligent marketed campaign targeting the right people thus far. What happens in the future?
I will give him that. I don't feel like he can. The Democrats start the elect. If you just look at the Electoral College vote and the numbers, the Democrats start off with about 242 votes, give or take. If they just take their blue states, and if the states that have been historically red stay red, and you don't count the swing, the Republicans only have about 102. So there's 140 vote or 140 Electoral College votes or points or whatever the fuck on the side of the Democrats just to start if we just take solid red, solid blue. So unless Trump can flip a blue state from a blue state to a red state, he's already starting out 140 points behind in the electoral. Sure. They need 270 to win. So then he's been so divisive. Hillary doesn't have to that's the thing. It's like Hillary doesn't actually have to do much to win except for win her blue states.
Yeah.
Take two or three swing states.
I'm happy to hear that. And then that's it. Great. And that's great. It'd be great to have – it'd be historic. First woman president or first Oompa Loompa president?
Either way, it's a first.
It'll be historic.
I just
– if Bernie comes behind as the first Crypt Keeper president. So
– it'd be the first Jew.
It would be the first Jew.
It'd be first, first, and first.
Yeah. And nobody else is in the other side at this point.
No.
So it's just Trump. They've already conceded.
Right. Everyone's done. It's just Trump. He's crazy. The presumptive nominee at this point. There's still talk about changing the rules of the RNC and just saying, fuck it, nominating someone else.
That's not going to happen.
I don't think it is either, because it's just a fucking thumb in the eye of all the people that voted.
I know. Well, you're just alienating your own party at that point.
That would break the Republican Party. But a lot of people are saying the Republican Party, this is evidence the Republican Party has broken, that the leadership was unable to control this election. And I agree with that. The leadership clearly tried everything and was unable to control this election at all. So that tells me the leadership's broken. The Republican Party's in deep shit. You know, Boehner, that didn't work out. Eric Cantor, that didn't work out. Now here we have with, you know, so they lose, the speaker doesn't get reelected, then fucking Boehner fucking melts down and all that shit that happened. And then you've got Trump, who came in and they fucking fought him and didn't want him in there, and he fucking takes the presidential nomination. I think that whole party leadership has just disintegrated.
Yeah.